Hi, I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm Judge Hub. I did that on purpose. Let's start over again. Just trying to get some energy in the room here. Let's go. Here we go.
I'm ready to go.
Do I need to stand you up?
I'm ready to go to sleep.
I'll stand you up.
Oh, you will not.
Okay. Hi, I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Shoup.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer. We are theater geeks.
Hi, welcome to Theater Geeks. This is the podcast about community theater and the performing arts.
Yes, it is.
This is sort of the second in a series. We picked up an article by a fellow by the name of Brendan Kiley, who writes in The Stranger, which is a Seattle-based blog, and he listed 10 things theaters need to do right now to save themselves, and one of them, and we talked about one of the other ones in the last episode, one of them is build bars. His opening line here is that alcohol is the only liquid on earth that functions as both a lubricant and bonding agent. And between human beings, I'm assuming. And so it's like, we have differing opinions about the use of alcohol. I think that some events that you may do in your theater, alcohol is, can be an adjunct to it. We just came off of a special event where beer and wine were served, and it was a good thing. Mm-hmm. There are possibly downsides to it too. How many community theaters do serve alcohol, I wonder?
I don't think it's as many as probably would want to.
I can't remember if they do it in South Bend or not.
Yeah, they did it in South Bend, but yeah, I don't think they do it anymore.
I think they just have desserts and stuff available.
Right,
they don't have booze. And you're talking beer and wine, be okay. I'm against it anyway, but it's when you get into hard liquor that I think you run into problems. Like with the drunks.
Yeah.
Believe
me, get drunk on beer and wine too.
Well,
so
they can do that too. Yeah. And I think the one thing that I would say is that from the standpoint, now this event that we had, beer was available all the way through, but if you're only selling beer and wine at the beginning of, pre-show and then intermission and that's it, I think you have maybe an effective limit on it, but there's, don't you think? I mean, how many drinks can you really slug down in intermission?
The other thing is,
not when you're saying slug down, you do a lot more than that.
But the other thing is that usually, like if you go to a professional theater that has a bar, mm-hmm. and a lot of times
they do
mixed drinks, but yeah. But they so overpriced the drinks.
They also have the authority to throw your butt out of the theater if you get too much.
Well, you should have that authority anywhere if you're going to have a bar.
Well,
and people
a licensed bartender, at least in the state of Indiana, they're required to watch for glassy eyes and erratic behavior.
But I think a lot of times when you go to a bar, they don't necessarily because at the theater you're paying sometimes twice, three times more than what the drink really should cost.
Yeah.
And so, you're not going to overdrink, mm-hmm. I don't think, at a theatrical event.
No,
some people might because they're alcoholics, but I don't think that everybody's going to overdrink.
And some of them come to the theater already half
oiled
in a bag too.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's really not the theater's fault, really. No.
Well, but do you think it's an important part of getting people into the theater to say, okay, we're going to serve booze now?
Well, locally here, I don't, because I've actually heard people say that if we started selling alcohol, they may reconsider coming to see a show because they don't want to be around alcohol. I mean, we're in you can roll your eyes, Dave, even though the audience can't see it. But there's a large religious contingent in our community that believes that alcohol consumption is immoral.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, they don't want to see it when they come to the theater.
Right.
Part of me says maybe we need to honor that.
Well, I agree with David in part that there are certain events where it helps you to be a little oiled.
Our improv event that we just came off of, I have no problem with that. But that also is not part of a main stage season.
Absolutely.
You make a
not.
Choice, and because if we started serving it on a showly basis, is that?
No, that's not. Go ahead.
Per show basis.
Or a nightly basis, that people may choose not to become season ticket holders because they don't want to be around the alcohol.
Well, the thing is, I think, frankly, if I were coming to a play, I'm for someone who's not an alcoholic, and can stop at one, I think it's kind of nice to have a drink before you sit down. It's just relaxing.
Okay, then you can
go someplace
and get a drink before you come into the theater.
Well, that's true. The other issue with serving alcohol, and we finally sort of solved it, is cost.
Cost is terrible.
And the cost of actually serving the alcohol isn't the problem. The cost, here in Indiana, we had to get a license per night. If we were going to actually serve the alcohol ourselves, we had to get a license for the night, a 24-hour license, which was about $50. And then you had to get each bartender had to be licensed for the night for cost of about $5. So that's $60.
That's beer and wine only.
And that's for beer and wine license only. And that, now, okay, that's not very much. However, we discovered that the insurance issue is where it really was going to kill us. And it was like $300 a night. And our theater is small enough. We knew we weren't going to sell that much alcohol. So it was pretty much a done deal. Our best deal was to bring in a caterer, and we worked with a caterer. Right. And
because they have their own license to do stuff like that.
They have their own license. They have a year-long insurance policy. They have,
they only use licensed bartenders.
They only use licensed bartenders, so the onus is on them.
Right. So they're really adept at looking for googly eyes.
Well, that's
glassy
the hope.
Glassy eyes and erratic behavior.
But it does. It really.
You could throw out a lot of our audience. They never have.
Well, the erratic behavior anyway. Yeah,
it depends on the show. Sometimes I've seen glassier eyes. It had nothing to do with alcohol.
The thing is though that every state is going to be different, because
everybody should look at their state regulations.
In fact, half the time, and frankly, even in Indiana, each county handles things slightly differently. There's differences if you are in near our state capital. The rules are different in that county, and it's kind of confusing.
Well, I don't think we ever run up again. Well, we did with the special event thing that we just had. But normally the only time we ever have alcohol in the building is when we have sold a special performance.
Right.
And that group, whoever has bought it, wants to have that. And they bring caterers and they have food and they have beer and wine and mixed drinks and but they're paying for it all.
Yeah, and we aren't making any money on that end of it.
No.
But we still, like, if we have a special event, we do get, especially if it's off-site, we still have to call our insurance company and make sure that we get a rider for the evening. Your insurance policy will only cover so much. So again, if people are looking at alcohol, even at special events for their organizations, especially if the special event is not on your site, but your people are, like we were going to do, we were going to get a license and sell with our own people of bartending. You need to make sure that all of your riders and your insurance company, everybody is contacted so that you're covered. And you may want to talk, if you have a house attorney, talk to your house attorney, because they may tell you, not worth it.
Yeah.
It would have been okay except for the insurance cost. Yeah. And
I just think in this, as Dave John says, in this area, you have to check out, your area. Are they
know your people?
Yeah. Yeah. Are they going to be okay if they walk in and see in the lobby always there you can buy beer or wine or there's another group that was doing that. And as far as I can tell, they have since stopped doing that. And I just think it's really not worth it.
Yeah. Now, when we did this event this past weekend, and it was an improv event. So, and it was a little different crowd, younger group, more oriented towards drinking some beer and things like that. But ultimately, we didn't make a ton of money on it. I mean, we made a little. But
on the alcohol,
itself, we did not make a lot of money, because the bartender cost about $100 for each of the evenings.
Right.
And we were able to make some money on the alcohol. But out of the two evenings, we probably made $100.
Yeah.
So, but it was a nice thing to have for that event. So, it's not a huge money maker unless you've got total control of the cost and can just jack up the price of a drink to $10 or something.
Oh, geez.
And you might make money on make some serious money that way. But in the hinterlands, people ain't going to pay that much for a drink.
No. So, it does not bother me as a theater attender to go to a theater where they're serving alcohol. It would bother me if I was sitting next to somebody in the theater who had so much alcohol that they were sloshed. But I know that there are people who just don't want to go to a theater where there's alcohol being served. And, mm-hmm. you know, in the long run, is it that important?
Yeah, I would say no.
I mean, is it that important to entice people into your building? I don't know. I don't know that either. I know that there's a theater downtown where right when they first started downtown Elkhart at the Lerner, when they first started, of course they have a full bar where you can get drinks and take those into the auditorium. But there's a community theater group that's performing out of that theater that actually there, I think there were even letters to the editor about alcohol being served at those family events. Mm-hmm. And it's a requirement of the Lerner, I think, that the alcohol be served. But, you know, these people are coming to a family event with their grandchildren and or children, and they don't necessarily want a family event to have alcohol served at it. And it seems to me like, I think they were able to work around that. I'm not sure if during the family events anymore, they do have alcohol mm-hmm. served, but, I don't know. It's just, it is something to think about that it really can drive people away. Is it something that you want?
Well, I mean, it depends on how driving people away and what numbers versus how many it brings in.
I don't think it brings in enough to make a difference. Yeah.
But when we decided we were going to talk about this today, I did just kind of go online real quick and just do a little bit of researching. People who do have alcohol though at their theaters have alcohol policies in place. Mm-hmm. First of all, you really always should have an alcohol policy in place for your actors and performers and technicians. There should be some sort of policy in writing saying, you know, that's just not acceptable behavior.
Right.
But, we talked about
having a drink before you go on stage and no drinks in the booth. That kind
yeah.
of stuff.
Well, at least, you know, I'm not going to say anything about having a drink before you go on stage because I know some people that they actually do have a quick, like a shot or something because it calms their nerves. I'm not going to say anything about that, but I don't believe in going on stage drunk or coming to the theater.
Oh, no,
drunk,
no, you can't do it.
You know, or even slightly tipsy. But here's the Hershey Theater. I think it is in Hershey, Pennsylvania. And they have an alcohol beverage policy.
We have a Bristol emergency going on.
Oh, goodness.
Okay, there we go.
Okay. It's over with. And so their alcohol policy is, first of all, you're not allowed to bring it in or take it out. So mm-hmm. no bringing it onto the premises. And if you buy it there, you're not allowed to take it off the premises.
Right, right.
So that's, you know, that's an important thing. And then they request, of course, a photo ID. And then if they have the right to remove you from the premises if you're inebriated.
Right.
And I think that's a very important thing. So if you are going to decide to do this, then you, even if you're going to do it for special events, and this is something that we didn't talk about, but maybe we should have this. It should be written and it should be at least posted either in the lobby space and then especially on your website.
That's right.
So that people can't say, I didn't know anything about it.
Or right at the bar too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so your policy should be
your house attorney might also say that if you have a written policy, maybe you should, you know, having a written policy is dangerous because then if you accidentally violate it, then you're in trouble. Or if you accidentally forget parts of it, there's risks on both sides of a written policy.
Well, I'm sure there are. And yet, you know, I think in the long run, I would have a safe, but yeah, talk to your attorney.
Yeah. I am not a lawyer. Yep. There we go.
Marcia, are you a lawyer?
No, not today.
Now, on the plus side, I would say that probably, and this really goes back to our previous episode, that maybe a little glass of wine helps that bad production of King Lear go down a lot easier.
So maybe that's what we say. Okay. So if we do Shakespeare, you have to have a bar.
Let me tell you. Well,
Shakespeare and alcohol. That's how you sell Shakespeare.
If the consumption goes up dramatically at intermission, you know people are trying to deaden their senses.
Well, that could be a gauge.
Have to go back in.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't need a reviewer at that point.
You just mean how much booze you're selling.
Are you selling?
Oh,
all
dear.
Right. That's true.
That's funny. Ugh. But yeah, it's a scary proposition when you start really looking at it. And it's a financial obligation.
Right.
If you're going to do it, it's going to cost money, a lot of money.
And that's the problem. Now, I don't know. You know, our situation was weird because our normal insurer couldn't just add a rider for the one evening for the liability. And so we went to specifically an insurance company that specializes in alcohol liability policies. Right. And so it may have been, had we been able to have just a rider, that it would have been something that would have been much less expensive for us to do from an insurance standpoint. I don't know.
And I don't know. And when again, you talked to the insurance agent, she said no.
Well, so, okay. Oh, she said that.
She said no. It's going to cost about that much no matter what.
No matter what. Okay. Yeah. Well, so, and that, know. And again, that's Indiana. You may have a different situation in another state, or for those of you in South Africa, it might be a whole lot easier and cheaper. So.
Cover your bums.
Yeah, that's right. And put more bums in the seats with a little bit of alcohol. But
no, you know what? That's not what I said. Cover your bums. That means cover your butt.
Right. Just cover careful. Your bums. Oh, okay.
Be careful.
All right. Okay. Well, I'm old and half deaf. We'd love to know your experiences on this. Send us some emails at Dave, John, or Marcia at theatergeeks.com, and let us know what you think about this. If you have had a good experience or bad experience with alcohol,
or if you're in community theater,
is it successful or are you against it and why? And
let us know. That's all we got to talk about, I think. Please remember, you can pick up our podcast at the Stitcher on Demand Radio. You can pick us up at the TuneIn Radio. You can pick us up at the Blueberry Network. That's blueberrywithnoes.com. You can get us on, what is it that you're listening to? Apple TV. If you can find us on Apple TV and listen to
us. They have a podcast thing on Apple TV.
Look at it. And yes, that you
there,
can.
There we are.
And of course, we're on iTunes, which is why we're on Apple TV. We're also on your Roku box in the Blueberry Network and a whole lot of other places where podcasts are distributed. Do stop by our store at theatergeeks.com/store and buy yourself a coffee mug, will you?
Please.
Just get a coffee mug.
In two sizes. Nothing.
And once you've got a coffee mug, then you can move up to
underwear
after you've bought that
coffee. I haven't said it, Marcia, for a long time. That's saying it today. Underwear. Yeah.
Okay. I want to see it.
Underwear.
I should buy a pair. I just have a
pair. Underwear that's fun
yet.
To wear. There's other stuff on there too. The beer steins, there's a couple, like two or three different kinds of coffee mugs. There's some Go cups too that are pretty handsome.
I think what I'm going to do is buy a pair of boxers and then I'm going to sew up the fly and I'm just going to wear them as a pair of shorts this summer.
Oh, do that.
There you go. Or a swimsuit.
Yeah.
Go swimming in those suckers. That's right. Okay, that's all from us.
I don't know. It's a white. They're white. I don't know if I want a white swimsuit, just so everybody knows. Yeah,
I think I want a hand-painted. I'd like a hand-painted picture of that.
You're going to have to delete half of this.
I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaub.
Oh, Lord, I'm Marcia Fulmer, and we are Theater Geeks.
Music for Theater Geeks was provided by MusicAlley.com.
Theater Geeks is a production of the Dufour Creative Network.